Surprise, it's been a while.
It has. Welcome back. This is our end of season podcast.
Yeah, it's the season recap. I think we did two podcasts this year, but you know, now that the season is over and there's a World Cup upon us this summer, we think it's a good time to maybe recap the year that was in the Premier League.
And our predictions. I think we both tipped Man United for the league title with Man City in second, and turned out that it was not even a title race in the end. By the way, I don't even think we mentioned this is North London Divide.
No, this is the North London Divide. For those of you who are, if there are any new listeners out there, I am Thomas, or Tommy, the Lily White.
And I'm Dan the Gooner. Yeah, I think it's pretty funny. I expect we'll get maybe a couple of people listening out of curiosity, and then they'll switch off
after about
5 minutes when they realize that our intro was Oasis.
Yeah.
No, we always do an intro, and this time we went with, classic theme to look, not looking back in anger to Arsene Wenger's time at Arsenal.
Yeah, or just the season that was. If you weren't a Man City fan, yeah, I guess.
If you're a United fan, basically, and you spent money on Paul Pogba, and you've got a good left back in Luke Shaw that you're not going to play, and you know, you've created less chances than the rest of the top six by about a margin of 60, then you also need to just forget the season that was.
And move on.
And just be happy for next season and the World Cup that's coming up.
That's right. Sending a few players there too, obviously.
Yeah, there's obviously lots to talk about today. You know, obviously with the managerial changes that are afoot. Arteta is in London for talks with Ivan Gazidis and the boys. There's rumours of Chelsea, obviously, after a new coach, and even Pochettino being linked there.
Yeah, that's a good one. My personal favourite.
And I've also read that, obviously, if Zidane's Madrid lose out to Liverpool for the Champions League, then Real Madrid are going to make a move for Pochettino, which I think is crazy. I mean, if you're going to... Zidane's future shouldn't lie in one game.
When he's never lost in the Champions League.
He's got you to three consecutive finals of the Champions League. I mean, yes, they had a poor La Liga season by their standards, but...
Yeah, he's never been knocked out, though, since he's taken charge there at Real Madrid. And another... big name manager after guiding Everton to eighth, Don Allardyce.
Right, yeah.
Allardyce is available, so...
I've read he's going to Barcelona to coach Messi. So.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, you never know. But, I mean, I'm looking at some teams that are going to be hovering around the bottom there at the end of the... a third of the way through the season. He's going to be... I mean, he's always got a job, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm surprised Everton let him go. I mean, they played such thrilling football under him.
Yes.
But at what point do you just praise him for, you know, steadying a ship that Koeman had?
Well, I mean, I think it's...
I still maintain... And by the way, we did do a podcast in the middle of the season.
But
GarageBand didn't upload it, and we lost it. So, but I did say this then. I don't think Koeman should have been sacked in the first place.
No, Koeman probably shouldn't have been sacked in the first place. I think that the money that they spent a lot of money with the owner. I think that created expectation, but that's false expectation. Just because you spend the money doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's walk before you can run.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that being said, you can apply that to Allardyce too.
Absolutely.
I mean, he comes in, he steadies the ship. I mean, this isn't his team.
No.
He didn't want Tosun, he didn't want these guys that they bought in January. I mean, if you really want to give a guy... I mean, I don't believe in hiring a guy for the 6 months and then firing him. I just think, like, find the right person then. And
that's,
I think
that's all Allardyce ever was, though.
Yeah, I know. But I think we had talked about that if he had... After Watford fired Silva, and Silva right now is a front runner for the Everton job, I think you actually mentioned on one of the podcasts that... it would be cheaper for them to fire Allardyce now than it would have been for them to pay the release clause of Silva when he was at Watford.
That's right.
So why didn't they do that then?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I mean, if you look at Everton's season, it looks like it's just been shooting from the hip from the start. They signed, what, 3 or 4 number 10s? Wayne Rooney was never a striker at that point.
And he's gone anyway. He's off to the MLS next season.
They signed Rooney, Sigurdsson, and they had Lookman, and they had, what's the other fella's name from Ajax?
Klaassen,
Jordy Klaassen. So they had all these guys.
That's Jordy Klaassen.
Right.
Yeah.
Davy Klaassen, sorry. If they had all these guys they wanted to play at number 10, I mean, Rooney was never going to play striker again. He doesn't have the legs.
No, he doesn't have the legs. So, and then Sigurdsson, I think, I honestly think Sigurdsson's probably Everton's best player, is
probably
injured.
Yep.
He's injured. So that's a huge loss. Rooney, as we said, is off to the MLS. And Klaassen really didn't get a fair chance. I mean, he didn't perform well under Koeman. And then by the time Allardyce comes in, he just doesn't get another look.
So going back to just to wrap up on Everton, because I'm pretty sure we're not doing an Everton podcast, Allardyce is gone. Moyes is gone too, obviously, from West Ham.
Yep.
Maybe they can get the dream team going and get them as number one and number two, you know, one of the big clubs where both of them seem to think they deserve. It does seem to be a strange season for the old guard, with obviously Tony Pulis as well going down to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, he just recently lost out too, right?
Right,
they lost in the playoffs to Villa.
So you hope that next season, when guys are in trouble and they fire their managers, they don't always look to the same Allardyce, Pardew,
I mean, realistically,
Moyes situation that they always do.
In the way modern football is going, I don't think that's the right move anymore. I think that their time has come. I think Pardew, after his job at West Brom, will never get a job in the Premier League again.
You'd think not.
You would hope not, yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, Neil Warnock just took Cardiff City. They finished second in the Championship and got automatic promotion.
Yeah.
Another one who brings teams up, but I don't think he's a very good Premier League manager.
No. He's like Steve Bruce, you
Steve
know?
Root, and Steve Bruce is at Aston Villa, and they're playing in the playoff final against Fulham. I'm actually rooting for Fulham myself, but
for some reason, some coaches seem to be better at that transitional step than they do of actually managing. You look at guys like Eddie Howe, who's done well taking a club up. You would expect him to be the one that makes the next move, and you hope he makes the right one. But a lot of these guys, like you said, the firefighters.
I also think he loves Bournemouth, and he loves what he has there. So I think, you know. I mean, speaking of them, they finished 12th this season, so that's respectable.
The only one I would say is an exception to that is probably Roy Hodgson, who obviously took over at Crystal Palace.
Did a great job.
I think they lost, I can't remember if it was the first 6 or the first 8 Premier League games in a row.
Well, if you look at their last 5 games, they finished on 13 out of 15 points.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So Palace, I think they'd be, Roy will be there. I think Zaha will not be leaving, despite all of the links away, including to Spurs. I think they'll look to bring in some shrewd purchases. I think Benteke will be on his way out, because I think he'll be in search of first team football.
Yeah.
And probably go somewhere else.
It's a wonder what happened to him, because at Villa he was obviously excellent. And then he got his big move to Liverpool, didn't work out, and he's not really been the same since.
No, he hasn't.
He used to be a very kind of a proverbial battering ram, and good in the air, and getting, you know.
It's that age old story in football where grass isn't always greener,
mm-hmm.
right? Like how many players leave and then come back.
You wonder if maybe someone like Salomon Rondon could come in for Crystal Palace from West Brom.
Yeah,
or something
you never
like
know.
That,
you never know.
Depends on which way Roy goes. Does Zaha go?
I would think that he stays.
You think he stays?
I think he should stay.
Yeah.
I think this comes back to my whole point. I mean, he's done that before. He went to United.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Big fish, small pond.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he goes to a big pond and then he doesn't get so much of the ball and he's not going to be able to do some of the things he does, I guess that's the way it is.
So let's start then. Before we get too sidetracked, let's just start. Let's just go 1 through 6, or not in that order.
Should we congratulate any Man City fans listening?
Yeah, I mean, if there are any Man City fans listening, congratulations, you ran away with it. You made it for a very boring Premier League season for the most part. Champions elect very early in the season, and you never looked back.
And you know, I think this much revered podcast that Guardiola is clearly going to listen to, if we didn't congratulate Man City and their players.
Well, he did listen to the fullback suggestions that we've been saying for the last little bit.
We did last year claim that they needed fullbacks invested left and right. And
Walker, Mendy, Danilo. Yeah. And then Delph playing a little bit of left back this year. Sané, Sterling, Aguero, Jesus, all having big roles. Obviously, De Bruyne, I mean, he was an arguable player of the year there too. Silva, I mean, they just have a plethora of attacking players. I mean, nice to see Gundogan back. Gundogan, when he's half fit, I think is one of the best midfielders in the world.
I also think Fernandinho is excellent. If you can have all your attacking players, but a lot like the Invincibles, if you don't have someone back there who's always switched on.
And rumors that Jorginho from Napoli has already more or less agreed a deal.
Bernardo Silva did pretty good.
Yeah, too. He did, and I mean that's someone who won a champion or a league title with Monaco. They spend $43 million on him, and he doesn't start all the time. I mean, I think when you're going into a team like this under Guardiola, you understand maybe a role, and there's those few that are the first names on the team sheet. But there's a lot of team rotation. You're competing in every competition that you're involved in, whether it's a domestic cup, league, or Champions League. I would think that they'll spend maybe not as much as they did last summer, but probably close to $150 million this
year. Yeah, you wonder where Man City can improve, and you have to say that, you know, there was that Easter period where they got tired, just like every club does, you know, and obviously they've lost out to Liverpool over two legs in the Champions League. That would be a disappointment.
Yeah.
Losing their unbeaten run at Liverpool, I think that was 4-3 in the end, but it was 4-1 to Liverpool at one point. That would be a disappointment for them. But really, it's hard to be disappointing when you've scored 106 goals and you've got the first team to get 100 points in history. So yeah, overall is probably an A minus, maybe for a Premier League.
Or an A, or just an A.
I feel like the Champions League would be the one disappointment for them, and also losing to Wigan in the FA Cup was a big thing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a bogey team for them, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, that famous 1-0 loss to them in the final.
I think centre back is a position where they can improve. Otamendi still is Otamendi,
Laporte needs a full season under his belt.
And then what do you do with John Stones? And obviously Vincent Kompany's only played, 20 odd games?
He played 16 games.
16 games.
John Stones, I think,
Definitely going
to
be there.
I think he will. He should. Yeah, I think the people need to be patient. Mm-hmm. They have a very young squad. I think Kompany you keep just for a leadership perspective. Otamendi is Otamendi. Maybe you get one more person to throw it in there. I mean, I've heard rumors that they might throw in a guy like Johnny Evans because he's a cheap alternative. Yeah. $3 million. Mm-hmm. You know what you get with him. He's proven. He's won titles. He's a winner.
And he passes the ball out well.
So it makes sense that he could be in that rotation. Who knows, though? I also think that eventually they're going to have to address the fullback situation for... I mean, they bought Danilo, but then he liked to use... Delph over Danilo for reserve, so it's kind of an odd situation. It's like, why did you spend $30 million on a backup and then never play him?
They also had that young Ukrainian kid,
Zinchenko,
who looks like De Bruyne, but isn't De Bruyne. He played a few games there for them, but actually, that's one thing for Man City. I mean, they signed the best left back of last year from Monaco,
and he barely played.
Mende. He played the first few games up until September, and then did his cruciate, and they had. Fairly, I mean, haven't missed him that much. As good as their attack would have been, even better, I think, with him playing this season.
And that's interesting to see how...
incredible how much they coped.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how they look next year with him in the lineup.
But. Going across Manchester, though, you look at Man United and you have to say their season was fairly typical Mourinho. I mean, what did you expect from a Mourinho side? Really,
Man United fan? If they win the FA Cup against Chelsea on Saturday, is the season a solid one?
Yeah, of course it is, but that is Mourinho. It's a slog, you know.
Yeah.
Aside from really his first 2 years at Chelsea, when he had Damien Duff, Ian Robben, Michael Essien, Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard. That side was phenomenal, and you know that they were built in his image. And then since then, he's gone to Inter Milan, Real Madrid, come back to Chelsea, won the league. But that Chelsea side was basically Eden Hazard, and now he's gone to Man United, and it's always going to be slow and steady. It's always going to be kind of a bit of a slog on days because it's just the way he is. He's so pragmatic. So you hear Man United fans complain, and some Man United fans love him.
I think
you know what you're going to get from him.
I mean, I agree, but I also think that this summer he's not a Man United manager. No, he isn't. No. But this summer is a big year. Is a big one. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of ins and outs.
Yeah.
I think a full season with Sanchez in the side will be interesting to see how that develops. I think what the thing about Mourinho that bothers me is that we know he's pragmatic. We know sometimes he goes defensive and he's a little too cautious. But then he has these big name players that he won't let off the leash. But occasionally he does. But he doesn't have replacements for them. Like when Pogba's out, they do not have a creative midfielder. Really, McTominay played a little bit. He's young and he's very just like pass it sideways. Fellaini, same thing. Then you've got Herrera, who I really like, but he's not necessarily, he's like that kind of a wild card that you put with Pogba and like a Matic. I think their best three is actually Herrera, Matic, and Pogba. But if you take out Pogba, they have no creative midfielder. So that, you know, they're rumored for Fred out of Shakhtar. They were rumored for Jorginho. You can see why they want that, because if you have someone like that playing beside Matic behind Pogba, Pogba's free to go up further. I think he should be playing number 10 in a side like United, personally, because I think that his shots from range, I think his passing distribution, and his running behind in a striker, he's unbelievable. I think those goals that he scored against City were two examples of that.
When he comes off the box, yeah.
I just think that he doesn't have a deep enough squad.
I think it's excuses, I really do, and I think this is the same stuff you hear from Man United fans as well, and other fans as well, and Mourinho himself. When Pogba was in the side, and then they went to Liverpool and they played the 0-0.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Pogba got injured and he said, I can't play this way without Pogba. He's a special player. I need Pogba. And then Pogba came back. He did really well in his first game. He got two assists. And then Mourinho kept taking him in and out of the side. And then he didn't even play him against Sevilla, towards that part of the season. And there was that big falling out rumour. And it's like, when he had him, he didn't want him, and when he didn't have him, he wanted him. And then he used that excuse. And then he used excuses of money and Man City's fullbacks. He's like, you've got Luke Shaw there. Imagine if Guardiola had taken in United instead of Man City.
Yeah, I know.
Where would they have gone? They would have played Mata. Difference. They wouldn't have taken Sanchez, or they would have taken Sanchez. That is up to Guardiola. The point from United is they came in late. They already had Rashford and Martial. Martial was playing well at that point, and then he's not even got a look in.
Yeah,
he's not even in the France squad. United haven't built the right way.
I agree with you.
Mourinho's fault. He's curbed the wrong players. This is the same guy who couldn't find a space for the runner-up player of the year and the player of the year in Salah and De Bruyne in his Chelsea teams. He's a guy who is afraid of creativity. He needs certain players to play a certain way. He can win.
He has been playing youth more than he has in the past,
sure,
though.
I mean, McTominay, who's not the most spectacular
Lingard,
player.
Rashford.
Lingard, yeah, who's not really youth anymore. Lingard's
Age. You're right, but he has put his faith in, I guess,
and he's gone for a 32-year-old Ashley Young, who's dependable, who's basically a dog for him. If he tells him what to do, he'll do it. Versus someone who's Luke Shaw, who can probably create, and he can coach him to be the right.
I wouldn't be surprised, though. I wouldn't be surprised. I think defense is the thing that they need the most help with. I think they need to buy a left back, and I think they need another centre back.
I agree, but they have a good left back. They just didn't coach him. Mourinho.
Yeah.
If you're not on Mourinho's right side, you're not. And now he has too many players that he doesn't rate.
Yeah, and you know what? My argument isn't disputing that. I think that what I'm trying to say is that, like, you're right about Luke Shaw. He didn't do a good job coaching him, but he's not the answer anymore. Whether that's fair or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying they need a new left back.
And
saying they didn't have one. I'm saying that they need one. They're going to get a new left back.
He's just so easy to get on the wrong side of him. Herrera's one of his player of the years last year, and then this year he barely plays.
I mean, that's what Pogba's
best position under Allegri was left wing or on left side of a three, and he had played his best football there, and then he's juggled all over.
It's because everything's about Mourinho. He's always thinking job security. He's always thinking perception. Like, for him, it's just he can do no wrong.
You look at guys like Klopp, Pochettino, Guardiola. They've all coached their players to be better. Man United, it's like if he doesn't like you, that's
it. But okay, take a step back from Mourinho. Look at this Manchester squad. For this Manchester squad to finish second, I think is pretty good.
And they finished on 81 points. I know what you mean,
but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're that good. And they finished second.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, when I look at them, I do not think they're that good.
Well, they scored, 68 goals versus Liverpool, who scored 84, and Tottenham, who scored 74. The two teams behind.
You scored more than them, 74.
Yeah, we scored more than them too. So, defensively, as always with Mourinho's side, you're going to get
goals
good
conceded.
You're always going to get a good defense from him. It's just you're not going to get the fireworks. You're not going to look. United massively underachieved. They lost to a weak Sevilla team. I think finished sixth in La Liga, and they lost to them.
Like, they were on the bounce with a new manager who has since been fired.
It's just such excuses.
Montella.
It's such excuses. He.
Sevilla
United
has
should
European
have put
pedigree,
Sevilla
man.
To the sword.
You're,
this
so,
is
Sevilla,
Manchester United.
Sevilla,
they should have put Sevilla to the sword.
Sevilla has European pedigree.
I can't buy it. He was afraid to attack in Sevilla. They came back with what was a 0-0.
I think if you go and attack in Sevilla, you're going to lose.
This is no way Man City or Liverpool would have gone. Or Tottenham. There's no way. Man United played there and they played so safe and pragmatic that they lost. And then they come to you in Old Trafford. Sure, they can sort of concede two late goals, but you're putting everything on your home win and you're banking on a 1 or 2 nil scrape.
Yeah.
Your eggs are all in one basket.
It didn't happen.
You should have gone there and you should have gone and you should have shown them that you're Man United. You should have believed in your players.
But that's not Mourinho.
It's the same reason why they were going toe-to-toe with Man City up until the end of September. They were really, really good. They went to Anfield. They played against the players' instincts and they played for a 0-0. And then it killed any momentum. And then they went to Huddersfield and they lost 2-0.
Okay, but here's my thing.
This is the thing.
You're putting the context of Man United under Ferguson on Mourinho. That's not a reality anymore.
But the thing is there's no camaraderie there because he's not trusting his players to play the way they are. Players these days don't play the way they did 10, 15 years ago. They defend from the front, as you can see from Firmino making 69 turnovers for his Liverpool team from striker versus, you know, 15 years ago when he had Essien and all these guys we just listed, these guys were brawlers. They could fight.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have, like, these guys now, they want to play. Like, you've got Mata, you've got Rashford, you've got Martial, you've got Pogba. These guys, you want to let them express themselves.
I agree. This goes back to it. That's not how Mourinho plays.
Then you need to find a new manager for
Man
United.
But he still finished second, man, and you might get a trophy.
And they're complaining about it. And they underachieved against Sevilla. And a lot of fans are not happy. And you're never going to be happy. That's my point. You're going to have to suck it up and deal with it because that's the way Mourinho is. Or you're going to have to wait for a change. He's never stayed longer than 3 or 4 years at a club anyway.
I mean, I think that's what's more realistic, is that they're going to ride it out, and if something doesn't give and they don't win something, then they'll scrap it in a year or two.
I think they should be disappointed. Yes, they got 81 points, but they scored only 68 goals and they massively underachieved in the Champions League.
So last year he won the Europa League. This year, if he wins the FA Cup, you're still going to say that's bad?
I'm not saying he's not better than anything since Ferguson left. He's better than Van Gaal. He's better than Moyes. But if you look at the transition Man City made from last year, finishing fourth in the top four, and Man United finishing fifth, and the leaps that Man City made with really two massive signings, the fullbacks, that's what changed Man City's dynamic, right?
Sure.
To be fair. Sané improved, Sterling improved. Those two players.
They also had
Jesus
for his full season.
Jesus and Aguero interchanged really well. De Bruyne played as well as you expected him to, and so did Fernandinho. The two big changes were fullbacks and obviously the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And they made huge changes there. Man United.
They also bought Laporte.
Didn't do enough in that respect. They bought Lukaku, who scored less goals at Man United this year than he did at Everton last year. What does that tell you? Yeah, they had 60. They created 60 less big chances than the rest of the top six.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But I still think
that's on the coach.
This is his second year there.
Yeah, well, it was Guardiola's second year, and he's not even used to the Premier League. Mourinho's managed in the Premier League for his sixth, seventh year, on and off.
I'm not buying it. He's still got trophies. He's still winning trophies.
And you know what? It's healthy. We disagree a little bit, but you can just stick.
I don't like Mourinho at all. But I'm just saying, when you're winning trophies and you're finishing second. It's not, you know.
No, and it's not. And it's okay, but it's not Man United.
Until they win
if
a Premier League.
Unless
they win a Premier League or a Champions League, I guess you have an argument that they could be disappointed.
Here's another way of putting it. If they finish with 96 points, and we'll leave it here, but if they finish at 96 points and Man City finish at 100 and they've scored 85 goals instead of 68,
then that
you say
no
fair
complaints.
Play. And you lose on an away goals to Sevilla after getting a 1-1, you say fair enough. But I think that Man United massively underachieved.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think their team's that good, so...
No, it isn't, but that's Mourinho.
Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, I mean, I think great season for us.
Yeah.
Everyone will say, oh, silverware. And you know what? I mean, yes, it's about time we have to start putting trophies in the cabinet again. It's been way too long. But Champions League for a third season in a row. Top three for a third season in a row. Getting better. I mean, 6 minutes of... mistakes against Juventus is what knocked us out of the Champions League, and I think that the team is getting better. Keeping the team together obviously is proving to be a smart play. I think we will lose some people this year. I think Alderweireld and Rose. Yeah, on the way out. Probably Dembele too. But I mean, between those guys, I expect to get almost 90-100 million pounds.
Right.
So I mean, you reinvested in the squad, and you know, United is someone who's rumored for Alderweireld. I'd rather sell to the continent, but.
And then you're getting Gareth Bale from Madrid.
No, I mean, rumors are saying that the fee's agreed. I'd take him back. It'd be interesting to see how we'd play under him or with him. Pochettino also getting an extension, apparently. We've signed a lot of people this year to an extension. I think everything just needs to be patient. I listened to Pochettino's interviews, and he says, we're just starting to get the work done. It's patience. Next year, we get a new stadium. We're going to have Champions League football for it. That was huge. We finished third in a season where we were away from home. We played all of our games at Wembley. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the year, if everyone remembers, says Wembley hoodoo, Wembley hoodoo. But no one's talking about that anymore.
No, absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, we went away from home, finished third, finished ahead of Liverpool. We only lost one in our last five games. I think we kind of stumbled there at the end. But, I mean, I think disappointment for me would have been losing to Man United in the FA Cup, especially after going up a goal. Those are the big moments for me. I think another disappointment for me was not having an ample backup for Harry Kane. Llorente was supposed to come in and do a job. He's been poor. I look at a guy like, I mean, not necessarily now, but at the beginning of the year, Chicharito was someone who we were in for, and he would have been someone I would have loved. So we need a forward to back up Kane, because if he does get injured after all these games, he's due an injury, a big one.
I wonder if they'll continue with Son in place, because he does play well when he covers.
It's almost like a false nine.
Yeah, it is. And I think that might be just your best option, and spend that money on building up your midfield and your right center mid. Because you've got Moura who's come in. And
he's going to get a full
preseason. He'll get a full preseason with Tottenham. Yeah. And Harry Winks obviously was missing. We were talking about this off air. How many
Oh, he missed a lot of games this year. Four or five months of the
season. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll need another midfielder.
Sanchez with another season.
Yeah, and we'll buy a replacement. Dilett from Ajax is apparently rumored to replace Alderweireld. What I worry about is
another goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, well, because Vorm's on his way out. I would say that if we don't win a trophy next season, I would say people are leaving.
Right.
Like it's just gonna happen. We need to eventually. We're gonna have to address this wage structure.
And to be honest, Pochettino will leave too.
Oh yeah, he will.
Because he'll get a call from Real Madrid, or he'll get a call from somewhere like Manchester United, who I honestly think if Man United have another season like they did this year without Premier League or Champions League contention, I can see Mourinho self-imploding more than Man United firing him.
I would hate the idea of Pochettino at Man United,
because Ferguson loves him.
I know, but I hate the idea of that. That would just be the worst.
That would be my fear for Tottenham, and then how do you move on from that?
Well, then we got to back him in the transfer market, and I think the wage structure eventually needs to be addressed, because otherwise, then I think we've reached the glass ceiling of this project.
I have a solution for Tottenham if Pochettino does leave.
Yeah.
And it's actually a genuine one. I think that providing he's not somewhere else at that point, you go for Unai Emery.
No.
I think he's he failed in the Champions League at PSG. But he's a good coach. He's won European leagues at Sevilla before.
Not for me. I don't think he's the guy for me. I would look at someone more like
Leonardo Jardim.
I would like Jardim. He's one that I've been saying off air here for a couple of weeks about Arsenal should be looking at. I don't know. I mean, I think you just take your time with it. But there's no rush. It can be an older guy too. Like, I mean, sorry, someone who might be leaving Napoli.
Roy Hodgson did really well at Palace. Yeah, if you want to give
I don't know if I would want old Roy Hodgson. But sorry, did really well at Napoli, and he's apparently leaving. So I don't know. I think it's hard to say right now. But right now, I mean, Pochettino's the only one I want managing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just keep it that way, and let's try to get a trophy in the cabinet next summer, or by next summer.
Liverpool's season was top four. What more can you ask for when you're missing a couple of big players like Chamberlain and Lallana now, and obviously Lallana's barely played this season.
I mean,
and they still made top four with a Champions League final run. That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. They spent a lot of money, man.
Yeah, they did, but they also recouped a lot in Coutinho, so that's fair play to them for reinvesting.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I've said on this podcast that Coutinho was the one that they actually were able to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? As much as he did, you can invest that money in strengthening your squad, and I think Salah was probably the purchase of the season. I think it's hard to argue that.
Yeah, for £30 million to go, like, from Roma, he's gone on to another level.
It's unreal. And then also, obviously, they bought Van Dijk, which is huge for their back four or their back line. I don't think Lovren is the answer. I think once they get someone, like, can you imagine if they had Alderweireld and Van Dijk beside each other? It would be absolutely ridiculous.
I think they look better with Karius, Van Dijk, than Lovren in the second half of the season. There's no doubting that Lovren needs a leader alongside him. He's looked much better.
And Karius, you know, he did kind of assume that main main goalkeeper role.
Yeah, he's a better goalkeeper than Mignolet. He's not spectacular.
He's not a number one.
No, he's a bit Tim Krul for me.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. But there's no question that Liverpool's defense became massively improved in the second half of the season. You know, you look at that 4-1 that became 4-3 at Man City. And, you know, that could have happened again had they not have had Van Dijk and, on the right side.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They definitely improved.
Do you think they win the Champions League?
They're in it to win it. It's 90 minutes, it's Liverpool, it's Klopp.
Hey, you never know, but I think that they won't.
Klopp's got a poor final record, I'll say.
And Real Madrid, when they get into a final, tend to, to finish
You can guarantee that Marcelo and Ronaldo are going to be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, and Ramos.
And Ramos as well. So, you know, Liverpool, if they are going to win it, are going to have to work and you know, leave everything on the field, because it's Real Madrid side, know how to win titles, so... It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Chelsea. Seems like the love affair that was brief is over.
Yeah.
Between Conte and
I think it's hard to stay happy at that club.
Yeah. Where do they go?
Is Conte leaving officially?
Hasn't been said, but it seems like that's
I think Sarri's going there. Right. And I said this to you, I think, about a month ago. Yeah. Sarri's going to go there because I think he's realized after this... valiant effort by Napoli in the Scudetto race. Juventus has won its 7th title in a row, and Allegri says he's not leaving. I think it's futile to stick there at Napoli. I think they're a year older. I think they'll probably lose some of their big players. I think he's coming over to Chelsea. Rumors are that the person he wants to bring in is Egwene, which is funny because there's this little triangle going on here. Egwene apparently is the one he wants to bring in. Juventus wants to bring Morata back, and Morata wants to leave Chelsea and go to Juventus. So, you know, that is a possibility. They buy Egwene, who's a year older, and they bring in a young forward in Morata, as well as the rumored for Martial, Juventus. So interesting to see who Sarri could bring in if he comes in. If not him, I'm not sure who. I mean, Pochettino was rumored. I think that's an absolutely...
I don't see Pochettino at Chelsea.
I mean, first of all, why would you when Spurs are on the up and Chelsea are not? And
I think you just wait for the United job if
you're staying in England. Yeah. I think if he goes anywhere else in England, I agree. It's United. Yeah. And also Chelsea, like, I mean, how can you trust... Why would you want to work for Roman Abramovich other than the money?
Yeah, it's you know, it's funny because ultimately you are going to win titles as a coach. I think almost every coach that's gone there has won a title.
Yeah, because they spent money.
So
they're going to spend.
Ancelotti, Mourinho.
Did you hear about the Hazard contract though? He said that he's not signing until they bring in new players or that they sign new stuff.
He wants to know his coaches and who his players are.
Hey, fair enough. Fair play, man. Fair play.
Yeah. He might be ready for a change or the next step. You'll see.
Where does he go though? Madrid?
I don't know if Madrid want him.
I don't think he's good enough.
You don't think he's good enough?
Yeah. I don't think so.
I think he's maybe more suited to the continent, and he gets kicked off the park in the Premier League so much, and unfortunately he's not playing with the best players around him. You know,
I think he'd be better at a team like PSG.
Yeah.
You know, depending, because I think, I mean, is Neymar going to Real Madrid? Who knows?
That one is an interesting one. Yeah. And that is also a sketchy transfer if that happens. It's almost like it was predetermined by Neymar last year to get out of Barcelona, knowing they would never sell him to Real Madrid.
Getting a huge signing bonus too, right?
Because he wants to play for Madrid. That's a sketchy one for me.
Yeah.
Coming on to Arsenal, though, I mean, we've got a few things to talk about. Obviously, 22 years of Arsene Wenger.
Done.
He's been the same manager since I was 12 years old.
Yeah,
which is crazy. So you know, don't really know anything different in terms of being an Arsenal fan. You look at his first 10 years versus his second 10 years at the club. You know, first 10 years, obviously everyone knows he had 3 titles, one being an unbeaten, 3 doubles. You know, and obviously a Champions League final in 2006, which right until the 72nd minute we were winning. And then obviously I think we look at where things go wrong with Wenger, and I can't look past dismantling the Invincibles too quickly. I think that was a big thing. If you look within 2 years of that unbeaten season, you got guys like Lundberg, Pires, you know, Lundberg left to West Ham, Pires to Villarreal, Henry to Barcelona, Vieira to Juventus. And then, you know, you look at the back four and Touré kind of didn't really do the same after Campbell. And,
no.
You know, Jens Lehmann retired. There's lots of these. It just dismantled. So Bergkamp retired, and it just dismantled too quickly. There were transition from youth project, or Project Youth that it was called, from the Invincibles was wrong. Fabregas was obviously the transition, and he put all his eggs in one basket. And then there's things like the Eduardo injury when we were leading for the title race, and then Aaron Ramsey at Stoke another season, and the season that Leicester won the league obviously was a big disappointment, and the last 10 years just haven't been the same. So as an Arsenal fan, you say thanks for the memories, but reality is 7 away defeats in 2018 means it was time for a change.
And it is time to move on, no doubt.
Probably a season too late, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to see where you go from here. Is Arteta, all signs point to Arteta. I think that's,
it's risky.
It's very risky. It can pay off. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like as a Premier League manager.
That's what I mean. All I keep hearing is these opinions on whether Arteta's a good... We don't know. You can't have an opinion.
No, I mean...
All you have to say is, like, it's a risky move.
It's progressive.
You have to wait and
see.
Yeah,
and it's a progressive hire, like, undoubtedly. I just think that there are people that would be better suited right now.
Sure.
Why not make him an assistant for a couple of years then?
But people saying it's a bad decision, you don't know. You have no idea.
No, it's not a bad decision necessarily.
You have no idea. Nobody
but it could
does.
Be.
We've got Sven Mislintat in from Dortmund, who's in head of recruitment. We've got Raul Sinier, who we've taken from Barcelona, and he's now our new contract negotiator. And then, of course, you know, we've got Ivan Gazidis as the CEO.
Right. I think you need to invest quite a bit into the squad. You seem to think that they're not as bad as people think, but
I never said that. I think the problems are fairly obvious to most people,
right,
and we can have the most gains. We made 63 points this season. It's one of the lowest under Arsene Wenger. We only had 6 draws, and we only had 19 wins out of 38. That's pathetic for Arsenal. Our home record was the second best in the league behind the champions, Man City. Our away record was as bad as, you know, guys like Leicester and teams
like that.
Well,
and you conceded 51 goals,
which is shocking. And most of those were Mustafi and Cech. So you take those two out the side, you sign someone like Jan Oblak. You sign an excellent central defender, and you bring through one of the others like Callum Chambers.
I don't think you'll spend that much money.
We have
Jan Oblak will cost £60 million.
Okay, then we need a goalkeeper of that caliber, but for half the money, and that's what Sven Mislintat's been brought into. Jack Butland's a shout, certainly. But you know, the problem with Arsenal is that central spine, and if we bring in a central defender, a central defensive midfielder, and a goalkeeper, the rest of it is there. You can coach Bellerin to be better. You can coach guys like Mav Rapanos and Callum Chambers, who had an excellent second half.
I think left back.
Callum Chambers had an excellent second half of the season.
Right.
Left back, you coach Kolasinac, or you bring another one in.
Or you bring another one in, just because Monreal is getting older.
He's getting older. Plays well at centre-back now.
Yeah.
And you know, you coach this side. You got Xhaka, who improved massively in the second half of the season.
Mkhitaryan,
Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ozil, Ramsey to work with. There's not that much wrong. You can probably improve Iwobi. You need to coach him, but... Wenger famously wouldn't let Bold work with defence. Arteta's going to come in and he's going to have his own guys. He's going to train that defence. We don't know. We're not that far away, and we could improve next season on 63 points.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I mean, the Oba signing too in January, obviously it's going to be good for a year or two, but...
10 goals in 12, 4 assists.
Yep. It'd be interesting to see how he fares though over the course of a year in the Premier League.
Well, based on 10 goals and 12 assists, I think we can assume he's going to get 20 plus goals in this Arsenal side.
Yeah, for sure.
Right,
but for how long?
Right,
he's 30.
That's okay. He's not been signed with like 5-10 years in. He'd been signed to hopefully get us Champions League football this season.
We'll see.
And it didn't happen. And now we've got a new coach coming in, and he's got a new way to work. The guy's still got tons of pace at 29. We're going to get 3 good years out of him. If you get 3 good years out of him, that's great.
Yeah, I think then that it's a good investment. I mean, assuming
absolutely
no injuries and everything like that. I do think you need to spend big in midfield.
Definitely.
And centre-back.
Yeah,
I think
that's fine. Goalkeeper, defence, and midfield.
But I mean, who do you bring in?
You know, I think we need another conductor-type player alongside to replace Cazorla, who's obviously been out this season, and we've missed him massively setting the tempo. But maybe with a defensive midfielder, but alongside Xhaka, and his lack of mobility, we can do something. But the problem is you either play to Xhaka's strengths or you sell him and
rebuild
the midfield.
I think you get rid of Xhaka. I think he's.
I just don't see Arsenal doing that.
I know, they probably won't.
We
but
spent
like,
30 million on him.
I know, but he's not very good. He doesn't do. He does. He's a much of muchness. He doesn't do anything spectacularly. And for me, I just think, you know, recoup the... I mean, this is what Spurs... I look at Spurs, and they've had a track record of spending... You know, if you look at their last, we'll say 8 years, and how much they've spent in comparison, right? Well, actually, let's even say 10 years.
You mean net spend?
just how they've increased their spending on certain players. Okay. And they're not all batting 100%. There's obviously been some absolute stinkers in the ones we've bought.
Vincent
but Jensen. Yeah, exactly. Okay, for sure. But what I like about Levy is now we don't wait and let them rot. We just get rid of them. Cut your losses. I don't believe in sunken value argument, where if he's not good, get rid of him and find someone who's better. Right now, get value out of him. Because
easier said than done when you've got someone like Pochettino who is very decisive. Wenger typically will trust play. That's another reason why Arteta is going.
I'm hoping Arteta comes in and he has an idea. So he goes, sure. Oh, you know what? I'm not giving them all another season to prove
themselves.
Wenger
will leave them 5 years and trust them and be like, I believe in my players. They'll come good. And then by that point, they're worth nothing.
But do you have another year to give these players a chance? Is what I'm saying.
Well,
I don't think you do.
You don't know what they're like. We've had 20 years. Nobody knows. We don't know. 22 years of Wenger means we have no idea what anything looks like. Nobody can. It's not like it was 5 years of Wenger and we can go, well, 5 years ago we had someone in. We have nothing to go off. All we can say is these players should perform better. My argument would be this. With Xhaka, are his positives strong enough to allow you to ignore his weaknesses and build your side around? In my opinion, no. What's he got? A decent shot and a good long ball pass.
Yeah,
he's got a turning circle of an oil tanker. He's no good when you parry him, a la Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's defensively got much better in the second half of the season, but he can fall asleep and not track runners. Can you get that from a new coaching system?
I mean, yes, you could, sure, for sure.
And then can he improve
that
much?
But I'm saying a whole year investment into that. Like, I hope that whoever comes
stable.
In, I would
We've
hope...
We've got bigger problems.
I would hope that whoever comes in just gets rid of people right away. Because I think if you...
That's the problem, though. You can't change too much, and he's a stable cog. He knows his job now.
I mean, maybe you can change too much if the expectation isn't top four next year.
Okay, so you go through the side, right? And let's start from the top because it's easier. So Aubameyang up top.
Yeah.
With, let's say, Lacazette on the left and maybe Ozil or Mkhitaryan, right?
Yeah, great.
I think if you play behind them, you either play Ramsey if he's signed. And then
that's a lot of attack.
Yeah, but you play him in central midfield and with the right coach again who will tell him the right runs to make. And a defensive midfielder, you can keep Zach on as a player there too, and then you got Elneny, and then sign.
But I mean, how are you playing all of them at once?
It's easy, and then you just play your defense. That's your midfield,
so,
right there.
So you go, Oba, Lacazette, Ozil,
or Mkhitaryan as a front three,
and Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, you can play Mkhitaryan.
Okay, but then you can't play Ramsey and Xhaka because then that's six players and you're
no,
soft
Xhaka,
underbelly.
No, Xhaka's there in the squad. So you play him some games and not others.
And this is my problem with him is that I think you need someone better. You need to invest in like an absolute boss.
I guess Ramsey's got 1 year left on his contract. The problem for me is not the forward and the midfield. The problem is more the defensive midfield
the center,
and back.
Especially the center.
Those are my problems. So I think we're okay there. I think we can get through a season and evaluate the Ramsey, Xhaka, bring one more in as well.
I'm just saying that if you want top four next year, you can't have all of this at once.
No, I agree, which is why you fix the defense and the goalkeeper
first. No, but I'm saying you can't like give these guys a chance, give the coach a chance.
What do you do? We don't have that much money to spend.
Exactly. So I'm saying top four shouldn't be... Like, top four is a bonus.
Yes.
If things work out. I'm not saying... If the goal is we're making top four, I'm not saying don't try for top four.
I think we can make... I don't think we can. You don't think Liverpool... you don't think Arsenal can get 75 points next season?
I don't think Liverpool, United, City, Spurs, or Chelsea will be any worse. I don't think Arsenal will be worse, but I understand what you're saying about that there's more tangible, larger leaps for Arsenal to make. But I don't think they're going to... catch one of those guys. I mean, if you look at Chelsea finished in fifth. They had an absolutely shocking season and they're 7 points better than you.
Yeah.
You're 12 points off of fourth.
Yeah, I know.
And that's Liverpool. And Liverpool is going to buy and spend. They're going to back.
But Liverpool and Tottenham and Man United, well, Man United maybe, but Liverpool and Tottenham can only gain a bit. Tottenham aren't going to get 85 points next year. I'm sorry. They're just not. They're going to be around 75 to 80 points. Because that's what Tottenham's level is, and the amount of money
you spend
with Pochettino.
But this is what we're talking
Liverpool's
about. We don't
same.
Know what can happen. You just said you don't know what can happen.
I know. So
they bring in Gareth Bale.
Just,
they buy
I
in
just
more
don't
players.
See it. Tottenham have consistently got around the similar amount of points the last three seasons under Pochettino. Liverpool have gained a huge amount this season, yes, but It's going to be a title race next year. You think, man, they're going to get anywhere near 100 points? No.
No, City will
Man
not
City
get
it. Man City have raised the bar.
For sure they have.
Man City have raised the bar. The dogfight is from 3 to 6. And I think that Liverpool, Arsenal can get to 75 points? Absolutely, yes, I do. With the right goalkeeper, central defensive midfielder, and a defensive midfielder.
Yeah,
defender.
We don't know if it's a dogfight next year. 75 points might not be enough. Or
that's
might,
fine.
Or
but,
might
you
not.
Know, if we make a run on it, if Arteta just fixes the back first... If he's coming in and he fixes the back and he changes the way the team press and the way we actually work defensively as a team, I think we can cover Vazaka's if we don't bring a midfielder in.
You will. You have to.
I think we'll bring one in, but I'm saying a full replacement. We say, look, you know what, Zaka? I don't think we should sell him in summer and be like, look, go back to Germany. There's someone like, I don't know, Leipzig want you, right? To replace Keita.
Right, right.
Okay, then he goes there, he replaces Keita, he comes to Liverpool, and then we sign somebody else. I don't think he's a tidy, comfortable passing midfielder. And if we get someone alongside him or Ramsey with the right defensive players behind them, I think there's other things that are bigger problems to fix at Arsenal, and you work with that attack that you've got. That's all I'm saying.
And I just think that...
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Everything you're saying is right. I just don't think I see the 75 points.
And you also don't want Zaka. But the problem is you can't change too much too soon.
It might be better...
What
to
about if you sold Ozil and you know, you took
you
the money from
to.
Ozil
you
and
might
you
need
reinvested
to do that.
It?
You might need to do that. Then you have Mkhitaryan play number 10.
And then where does Ozil go? That's the other thing. That's the only other way you can do it.
He's on huge wages. He just signed a contract.
Exactly. So there's lots to work with at Arsenal. There's also a lot of work to do. Like, can you get more out of Iwobi? Is Jack Wilshere staying?
I mean, there's a lot of what ifs, right? Like, just like you think Spurs can improve that much, I think they can.
I think you can improve. I just think that Arsenal have got the biggest chance of improving because they failed the most.
Right.
And compared to seasons before, this is a better squad now.
I understand what you're saying.
We have Aubameyang now.
Because they failed the most, they have the most chance at success. But I mean, I think it's just important to recognize that the five teams ahead of them will all be looking to get better and probably all will be better. Chelsea will be bringing in, they'll be spending money. It's classic Abramovich. Oh, we won the title, things were good. Then we screw it up. We'll bring in a new manager. We'll spend $150 million. Boom, we'll probably be in the top three next year. United, I think they're going to get rid of the Deadwood. The Deadwood in parentheses or in quotations because it's Mourinho Deadwood. Mm-hmm. And they'll probably be better. Spurs, I think, will spend. I don't think, you know, everyone talks about the new stadium and how much it's costed. Guess what? This isn't like Arsenal building the Emirates. It's a different era. The TV deals, the finishing in top three, the Champions League football. Like, it's huge money. I think we'll sell a couple guys and we will be better. I think we'll push above 80 points next year. I think.
Wow, okay, I'm going to remember that because I don't see Spurs getting 80 points.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They lost 7 games. I would put them on money to be in the Champions League and lose 7 games again.
I mean, if you look at those 7 games,
Arsenal
too, who they lost to?
Arsenal
they lost 2 of those to City.
Yeah.
Okay, so fine, I'll give you that, right? The other one they lost was the 1-0... 1-0 when we were playing brilliant at United. And then Lukaku.
Didn't you lose at Palace as well?
Yeah, I think we lost at Palace. We also recently lost to, obviously, West Brom.
Yeah.
Right? There's a couple there that I think that could not happen. Obviously, then you can always say they get replaced with new Bogey
Yeah,
team,
and
Bogey
every
games.
Every team can say that. Man United lost
to Huddersfield. Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that... If you think Arsenal's going to do that, I think we'll get better. I think you won't make top four next year, but I think that you will improve.
Okay, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I also certainly wouldn't rule Arsenal out of a massively improved season and up to 75 points where Liverpool are at now. Whether that's enough to get Champions League football, I don't know, but I think Arsenal will improve massively with the right acquisitions this season. Wenger's always had blind spots, and then he's fixed one, and then he gets another blind spot, and then he fixed that, and then there's another problem. Like, for the longest time, we didn't have the right
striker.
But isn't
that what you're saying, that you can do right now? You can't change too much?
I don't think there's that much wrong with Arsenal's attack. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either. But
so
I'm saying midfield and centre.
Yeah,
and
but
center.
I think now that Wenger would have kept... Here's the thing. If Wenger was in charge next year, you can guarantee Cech and Ospina would still be there as goalkeepers. I don't see that now. I see a new goalkeeper coming in and Cech going as number two and Ospina going out. And then I don't see a way in hell Mustafi stays. I mean, the guy has made more...
What about Koscielny?
Well, he's out for the next 6 months. So whatever we get
and
out of him
older,
is a bonus. Whatever we get out
Plus
of him
per,
is a bonus.
Per retired.
Yeah, and barely played this season. So we're not really missing him.
You need two centre-backs, really.
Sure. But yeah, Chambers, I think, can play... quite a lot of games this season. I think he was massively improved. And alongside the right defensive player alongside him, who's a more experienced player, you sell Mustafi and take whatever you can get. Holding's there for the future. Mav Rapanos is there for the future. You get one really, really, really good defender. Maybe even a Johnny Evans.
I think you need more than that, man. I think it's Evans because he's cheap. 3 million buyout clause.
And then one good one.
And then one big one.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
But I'm saying that's Evans specifically. Like, all rumors point to him going to City.
Sure, I agree. But
which is, by the way, a great example. Would be a great place for him to go. I think you need to spend on two quality center backs because I'm not doubting Chambers and Holding. I'm just saying that they're not there yet.
No, I think Chambers can be first choice with the right player alongside him.
I think halfway through the season, I thought you were pretty sure that Chambers was not that great.
I agree, but this second half of the season, he's massively improved. Per Mertesacker, he's been working with closely about his positioning because he's not the fastest on the turn.
No, he's not.
And obviously Per wasn't either, and he's massively improved. And he played really well in the second half of the season. And he did not make as many mistakes as Mustafi.
See,
that's the guy that's the line.
I would bring in a guy like... As my second, if I'm buying two center backs, this isn't the top notch, but I bring in a guy like Lascelles from Newcastle.
Yeah.
Young, English, and he's actually, I think he's quite capable. I think even from a young age, he was apparently, you know, reaming out guys in the dressing room.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
That's a perfect guy. And then you go and spend 40 million on another.
We need some, you know what we need? We need a Van Dijk type player that Liverpool have got.
Like a colossus, an absolute colossus at the back.
For way less money.
Yeah, well, that doesn't exist.
So, well, we'll see. But I think we'll leave it there for Arsenal because, I mean, we don't disagree here. I think it's just I don't see massive changes in the midfield. I'll take them, but I don't see them coming this season. I think the defence is where, and the goalkeeper as well, they'll focus. 51 goals says that enough.
And then, okay, well, let's, I guess, skip over these middle...
Yeah, you know, we can say Burnley did well.
Burnley did very well.
Everton finished on 44 points after a poor start and...
49 points, sorry,
and, after a poor start. And, you know, in the first six games, I think they played Arsenal, Man City, United,
hardest,
Chelsea.
We said at the beginning of the year that it was the hardest opening schedule.
And then Coman lost his job, so...
Silva probably to come in there for me.
Yeah.
Leicester, 47 in ninth. Newcastle in 10th, 44 points. Apparently, Mike Ashley going to back Rafa with every penny he has available.
Oh, we've heard that. We've heard that before.
Palace, very respectful 11th under Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth as well on 44 points.
The best thing you can say about Bournemouth is they've barely been talked about this season.
Yep.
They had a rocky start, not the best. They were languishing. But, you know, they've always kept their heads above water, really. They really kicked on around Christmas time, and that's the biggest compliment you can pay them.
I would say this. If you look at their last five games, three losses, and then they finish off with two wins. So if you take those 6 points away, they're on 38 points, pretty close to the relegation zone. I think Eddie Howe knows that he needs to improve the squad. I mean, I think everyone does. West Ham, as we said, fired Dave Moyes. They placed 13th, 42 points, I think. It was laughable to me a couple of seasons ago, and I said this on the podcast when they thought they were making the step up.
Yeah.
It's walk before you can run there, boys.
The West Ham fans...
Their bubble started to pop real quick.
The hierarchy and the fans both deserve each other, in
yes,
my
opinion. Yeah, exactly.
They're scum. I'm sorry.
Watford 41, Brighton. Great job. You know what? Kudos to Houghton for keeping him up, because 40 points for Brighton, Hove Albion. I think they'll spend more money. They spent quite a bit of money, actually, this year. Bringing in some decent players.
And yeah, Jonas Lösel's a good signing, and obviously...
that's for Huddersfield.
Gross. Gross is the guy I'm thinking
Pascal
of.
Pascal Gross, Ryan, and Ned.
But, you know, the question is how much Brighton can improve. They had some pretty good clean sheet, tight games. Tight games, but they also conceded 54 goals. So.
Well, Huddersfield too, 58 goals against, 37 points, barely... scraped out of this. I mean, kudos to them for doing it in a very hard fixture list at the end of the season.
Not unlike the Arsenal going back to. I think out of Brighton and Huddersfield, I think Huddersfield have got the better coach and the better potential to grow up. Their wages that they paid their players was almost minimal, and they spent not a ton of money. And with staying in the Premier League, I think you'll see them invest in a couple of really good players.
Yeah.
And David Wagner is better at maybe getting more out of this Huddersfield talent.
Agreed. And he's a little more clever. Southampton, I don't like the Mark Hughes appointment. But I'm interested to see, because I think this squad is very bland. I follow Southampton closely because of my uncle, for those of you who don't know. I think they need to spend some money, which is something that they're very unlikely to do. I mean, I think Bertrand... rumors that he wants to go. Suarez, that's their two starting fullbacks, want to go. You're gonna see other guys. I think Gabbadini will leave.
Sorry, going back to Bertrand, that's one I would take at Arsenal.
Left back, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. If you're going to put Monreal inside and you don't think you can coach Kolasinac,
then you go for someone like that. Absolutely, yeah. he's top notch. I think he's one of the best too.
Which is the quota part too.
So I would be interesting to see how much money they spend, because I think their whole sell our best players and make huge money and survive the next year is starting to wear thin.
Southampton have really struggled. You know, they've gone from Lallana, Van Dijk, and obviously guys like Graziano, Pella. To what they've got now, and then that's probably why they only won 7 games and they score 37 goals. That's less than a goal a game. That's pretty pathetic.
Okay, and then the bottom three, obviously Swansea, Stoke, and West Brom in that
started
order.
Started off so well for Swansea, and then they went and lost like the last five, six games in a row. So
Stoke, I think it was doomed from the beginning. They're an older squad, and then they brought in the wrong guy. I'm sorry, they just, you know. And then West Brom as well brought in the wrong person. They brought in Pardew. And
should have given it to Moore earlier. He won three of his last 5 games.
Yeah, and did very
beat
well.
Beat Man United, beat Tottenham.
Yeah. Tied Liverpool.
You know, one of my peeves is the West Brom game this season for Arsenal was a massive disappointment. The penalty from Mike Dean and Wenger got a touchline ban.
Yeah.
That was a joke against Pardew. I mean, we were one of the only teams that Pardew took points off, so that was very disappointing.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap this up now, though. We've a few couple of things before we close this podcast out. We've got a couple of teams we want to discuss.
Relegation. I think we decided on this one together.
Yeah, we did. We did a combined relegation team.
So keeper was Jack Butland from Stoke. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Left back we had Gibbs
from West Brom.
Yeah, we had Mawson from Swansea. Evans and Dawson also from West Brom. So basically, three defenders from our.
Yeah. From West Brom. Yeah.
And in the midfield, we had Joe Allen from Stoke, Livermore from West Brom, and King from Swansea.
Right.
And then our attacking three were Shaqiri, Rodriguez, and Rondon.
So that would be...
A lot of West Brom.
That would be the ones we poached from the Premier League.
Six West Brom, 3 Stoke, 2 Swansea.
Right.
Okay, and then we also did our own free agent.
Right.
So there's a couple of decent... I mean, very few decent... And lots of old players their contracts are up this summer.
Yeah, the free agents of the Premier League expiring contracts summer 2018.
So you go first.
We actually did these separately, so there's no collusion or anything like that here. We're just going to discuss this afterwards. I've got Michel Vorm in goal, who's free agent from Spurs this year. Martin Kelly at right back. I've dropped Claudio Jakob back into central defence just because the central defenders, frankly, there's a dearth of quality anywhere. And Jakob is 31 and a defensive midfielder, so I think he can slot in there alongside Miguel Britos at Watford. And I've got Ward from Burnley at right back. And then I've got Chan and Kabay in the middle. I know Chan is supposed to be going to Juventus, but he's not signed yet, so I'm taking him. And then I've got Jack Wilshere on the right, frankly, because there's literally such poor options to choose from. But he can interchange with Sako, who's on the left. So him and Sako can switch. And I've got Cathola in there. And so it's going to be quite a narrow midfield. And the fullbacks won't venture too far forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the big fella up front in Marouan Fellaini. Yeah. So that is my team for free agents.
Some very common names, obviously, on this list. Vorm is also my... goalkeeper. I mean, I respect what he's done for Spurs.
There is no one else
he's easily the best of the bunch. I took Evra just for nostalgia's sake at left back. Heath. And I took Ward from Palace to play right center back.
Okay, yeah.
And then I took Kelly also at my right back. My two defensive midfields or center mids I have are Emery Chan, as you said, not at Juventus yet. And I took Key from Swansea. I took Wilshere as a number 10 with Sako and Pugh from Bournemouth on either side of him.
Nice.
And then I also have the big afro himself up front, Fellaini, because there was literally no forwards to choose from.
So what you're saying is you're going to play a style alongside of Stoke with Robert Huth pulling at shirt corners and Fellaini elbowing.
Yeah, but they're working together. They're working together.
I see that. I've just gone for the elbows in the face. I didn't go for the shirt pulling and the rugby tackling of Robert Huth. So
yeah, we're really it's all about grit on this team. I guess one other thing to talk about. Is
We got our player of the season, our team of the season.
That's right. Let's do that first.
So we agreed on this one as well. This one was done together. We've picked De Gea in goal, frankly, because I think United would have been about 13 points worse off without him. Yeah. Van Dijk and Vertonghen are our central defensive pairing.
I think that's the easy choices in central defense.
And then left back, we've gone for Monreal over maybe Ashley Young or something.
Well, yeah,
because like
we took this is a top six club team,
and
so
Arsenal
we tried
had
to include
season.
Yeah,
so
we tried
to
include.
One.
Yeah, exactly. Walker, obviously at right back. I think he did very well since moving from Spurs to City and got his first trophy. Eriksen, Conte, and De Bruyne in the midfield. Once again, Conte's there to fill out the Chelsea checklist. And then the top three, I think, are just...
They kind of pick themselves.
Yeah, Salah, Kane, and Sané.
There's no way you
Not
can
Mane,
leave... No.
Sané.
There's no way you can leave out Kane for Firmino, but doff of the hat to Firmino for some real revolutionising, frankly, of centre-forward play. My argument would be is he plays a very specific way that suits Klopp. I don't necessarily know if he would do as well at a team like...
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, you know, it's just because of the way that Liverpool defends, so...
That's fair. I guess last on the list, just a little brief World Cup talk. I'm very excited. I like the World Cup. I know that with these, you know, with Russia and Qatar, it's kind of corrupt and you don't want to do it. Unfortunately, I don't have the discipline nor the willpower to resist watching.
No.
You know, recently these squads have been announced, so I'm pretty excited. I think we should choose a... top three contenders and a dark horse, and then we're going to do a starting lineup for England, and then we're done here.
I can't look past France for the World Cup.
No, of course not. That's in my top three as well. I think Germany.
Germany will always be there.
I think Brazil looks very good too.
Yeah, well, the Brazil. Listen, you're always going to have the
Spain.
Big guys. Brazil, Germany, Spain are going to be in the quarters at the very least.
So who's your dark horse? Because I have one in my head.
Dark horse.
I'm going to say.
Belgium?
Yep, you got it. Yeah. You got it. I think Belgium's got to be the dark horse. I think that they're all in their prime.
But that was the same last time as well.
Yeah, but
and
they're 4 years older. They're in their prime.
Who's going to do the best for African teams in the World Cup?
I think, there's Egypt, there's Morocco, there's, I think Senegal, probably.
I think Egypt.
I know Salah, obviously, is huge, but I think Senegal has, you know, they have Keita Balde, who is at Lazio, now Monaco. They have Mane. They have Moussa Sow, they have Idrissa Gueye, they have some pretty good teams that are.
I think Egypt is my tip from Africa. And
Senegal for me.
Yeah, okay, that's good. It's good to disagree. And then I think dark horse has got to be Belgium. But there's always one team that surprises you too. And, you know,
in Portugal. Yeah. Can I count them out? They're the European champions.
Portugal, and they've got Ronaldo, who frankly is just a juggernaut of willpower. So they've got them. England, you know, I expect quarterfinals is maybe a good achievement for them, but quite a few surprises in that England squad. Joe Hart not even picked.
Well, I'm not really surprised about that, to be honest.
And then you look at guys like Germany, as we just said, Brazil, they're always going to be there. It's just a matter of who knocks who's out and in there. And then obviously no Italy. So
no, which is a travesty. I love seeing Italy in the World Cup. Yeah, we're master of the dark arts. Okay, let's choose a quick England 11 here. We have got the team up here.
I think for me, Jordan Pickford in goal.
Yeah, okay, Pickford, that's fair. I think Walker, obviously, at right back.
Yeah, Kyle Walker. Well, no, because I think he's going to play a three with Kyle Walker as a
right-sided. That's what I've heard, too.
So I think he'll play him with John Stones in the middle, maybe, or Phil Jones. Or Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's fair. And then who plays left back? Danny Rose?
It's got to be Danny Rose for me.
Midfield, I would have probably...
You're going to have all Tottenham because that's what you like.
I don't know. I think Dyer starts. I think he plays decent for... It depends on what you're going through. Lingard, they have as a midfielder. I play him wide.
I wouldn't take Lingard in... Well, I would take Lingard, but I wouldn't play him. I would play... I would play Eric Dyer, and I would play him alongside Jordan
Henderson. Yeah, and then I would have Dele Alli number 10.
I don't know if I would or not.
Sterling number 10, and then you go Lingard and Rashford, or you go Lingard and Vardy.
I think you play Kane, and you play Sterling and Rashford wide.
Interesting. No Lingard.
No Lingard. No wow. Alli.
No Alli. I think both of them should start.
You play a two in front of them, back four or back five.
Henderson and Dyer. That makes sense to me.
Play Sterling wide along with who I just said. And
Rashford.
Rashford, thank you. And then, or someone like that
And then you play Kane.
Kane up front,
You have another player, though.
No, I've got two, three,
Who's your third in the midfield?
I've got five at the back, right?
Oh, yeah, you have five at the back. Yeah, okay, so for me, I wouldn't go five at the back. I'd go Walker, Rose, Stones, and Maguire.
Sorry, this isn't what I would do. I just know that I'm pretty sure England are going to play five at the back.
I am almost 100% sure you're right. So. I'm just saying, for me, it's Walker, Rose, Stones, Maguire is a central pairing. You go Henderson and Dyer. You go Ali, number 10. And then I would go Lingard and Sterling. And then I'd go Kane up front.
Yeah. I've also Danny Welbeck, who's a very good workhorse and has Vardy. A good pedigree for England.
I think Vardy's going to be coming on, you know, 20 minutes with 20 minutes left in games, and he'll be doing
stuff. Yeah, and, you know, there's lots of rumours that we might try him against Belgium when we're going to have less of the ball and whatnot. So we'll see.
Yeah, anyway. Well, that was a good hour.
Thanks for listening, whoever did. We will be back with a podcast at some point. We just never say when it is.
Post-World Cup.
Yeah, for
sure. We'll aim for the post-World
Cup. And we'll talk about when we sign David Moyes and Sam Allardyce as manager of Arsenal instead of Arteta. Yeah. When they realise Arteta is going to cost $500,000 more than the
Rui Faria.
Rui Faria, yeah. And then there's obviously the brains at Liverpool who's been mentioned in Buvac.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it looks like Arteta is getting the job, and we'll talk about it next time we're on.
Okay, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening.